I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here on the British Amazon Seller video podcast. If you haven't checked it out yet as a video, guys, then get yourselves over to iTunes if you're listening to the Amazing FBA audio version, because you get the whole of Technicolor experience there. So it's British Amazon Seller if you want to look on iTunes. So I'm here with Brad Moss, who is a man of many parts. He's done some amazing things at Amazon, including being the business manager for the whole of Seller Central, which must be quite a headache, but it's certainly given him a huge insight into how Amazon functions. And today we're going to talk about the best tips for selling in 2017. Now, this is sort of a bit of a wide open topic, but I'm just going to leave it wide open. So you can talk strategic, big picture stuff, Brad, or tiny tips, whatever you like.
Okay. Yeah, I would first say, so I run this consulting company where we help other people sell on Amazon and run their products for them. It's kind of a one-stop business where, you know, you have products, you bring them in, and we take care of everything for you. Now, I want to speak a little bit about kind of the strategies that we use. I would say don't ever think of a product one-dimensionally and a product sales lifecycle one-dimensionally. I would say think about there's different phases that products go through. You want to identify those phases and what is needed for each phase and each step. Now, the I'll start with this. So a lot of people are wondering what to do to launch a new product now. They say, okay, the review blast stuff is over. I can't just sell a bunch and get reviews. We have something, a process we call Spur the Machine that we do for our ASINs and our sellers, where it's basically a four-phase approach to just that first step of getting a product up and going on Amazon. Now, we have found from what we've done in our experience, it takes about 3 months to get a new product up in the system and kind of going and chugging along. And this there's a lot of things involved in all of this as well. So launching a new product, a lot of people are wondering what to do. I'll go through several phases. I have them off to the right here, so don't mind me looking to the right. But our phase one, you know, is a typical prepare the launch. And so you make sure that you do everything you can with your branding, your imaging. You optimize the back end to your best guess of the keywords and make sure you have brand control and get your price point on par or slightly below your competitors. And then set up your review follow-up email campaign. So, you know, that's either Feedback Genius, Feedback 5, all the various other tools out there. Then you launch. And then for about 2 or 4 weeks, between 2 to 4 weeks, you need to push PPC ad campaigns, but you do both the automatic and then you do your best guess manual ones. Now with those, you you let them sit and you see what the best results are, what the best keyword results are, and which ones you're spending way too much money on that really aren't converting, and then which ones that are actually converting and you're spending the right amount of money on. And then you also track your conversion rates in your sessions per product. And then you move after those 2 to 4 weeks, you got to let it sit and bake. I mean, a lot of people I think Amazon's more like a race car, but I always say it's a train. It's not a race car. When you have products on there, they start picking up momentum and picking up speed. And you got to understand it's not the immediate gratification that we have on so many other sides of our life. But Amazon's built to be a slower system. So you got to give it 2 to 4 weeks, track these things, and then you refine it. And you say, okay, these keywords are working. Let's take those now and put those into the back end system of your listings, the ones that are really working, and you kill the bad ones. And then you refine your PPC campaigns and you say, hey, let's take out these from broad match, put them into exact match or phrase match, and then add negative keywords to the broad match ones, so I'm not spending extra on those. And then start using AMS if you have that, Amazon Marketing Services, the headline ads, which are really potent and powerful. But use the keywords that you've discovered are really useful from your automatic and manual campaigns that you did for the first 2 to 4 weeks. And then, again, yeah, I mentioned refreshing the back ends. and optimize your listing based on some of the initial feedback you're getting. So you get some initial feedback about your product and optimize your listing a little bit that way. And add various elements of what people are talking about, put them in your listing. If the size doesn't fit on this thing, put in a sizing chart. Or if there's something that people are not expecting that's coming in, detail it out in the detail page and refine that there. And then it's also at that point, so that second phase or the third phase, the second period of 2 to 4 weeks, you want to push some promotions for your product. So, you know, it's been said that Amazon naturally gives a bump for new products that launch on the catalog and then it drops. I've heard that said. I don't have the data to back that up, but this actually would match fairly well if that is the case. So the second, you know, when you're in this next phase, do some promotions for your products. Now you can't do, here's my products, give me a review, because I'm going to give it to you for a 70% discount. But you do want to give some promotions to your products, base them on keywords, use some various tools to try and move yourself up the keyword ranking when you're doing those promotions, to try and kind of stabilize yourself and where you are in the rankings.
Any particular tools that you recommend there, Brad?
So we have our own proprietary things that we do internally to make that work. I know there's, I think there's Zonblast is a tool that some people use. There's a few people I get emails from time to time that say, hey, we'll do this for you. So there's a few ways of trying to help the keyword ranking grow. And then refine your review follow-up email campaigns. Refine those based on the previous data that you got from the first 2 weeks. But in all these, the idea is that you want to take a snapshot and stop and then review your data. Because many times people just go, they're making small decisions along the way, and they can never really tell where something happens and stops happening, right? And it's almost like A-B testing. It's you'd mix too many streams, so it wouldn't quite work very well.
I have to say that in theory, I know exactly the theory of what you're saying. After all, I'm in a privileged position that I get to speak to a lot of very experienced and intelligent people like yourselves. But unfortunately, the urge to fiddle and adjust on a day-to-day basis is a very human thing. So it's very hard to have the faith to do that, I have to say.
Yeah, I 100%, I've run products, I sold some products when I was at Amazon. They can encourage us to do so, and I totally understand that human fiddle. But you want to be, so our approach is much more scientific, and you can't get scientific if you're crossing the streams and crossing your boundaries. So if you want to be scientific, which is what I suggest, you're going to have to, you know, lock down your time periods. Because ads, you know, that you may not get a result till a week after the ads are running. And not the day of when all of a sudden your ACoS goes to 150%. And you're like, oh, what's going on? But then 3 days later, it's actually back down to 70%. So you're going to have to, you know, run some things and take some time on it. And then I would say the last point is after that third phase, last phase, I would say is make some kind of the midterm plan. So now your product's up in the system, it's going, get some more reviews, stop your big promotion push and set kind of a 3-month strategy for where your product should be. Is your pricing right? Can you adjust it? Can you increase it? Can you lower it? Refine your PPC and AMS for long-term results. So this is when you want to get it back down and try and figure out if you can get it down to a 30, 20, even 10% ACoS and where that's going to impact your margin and make sure that the price and the margin is going to work right there. And then you want to set up some long-term deals and promotions. You know, your email campaigns, you could do this in the previous phase too, but you want to set, you know, say with your email campaigns, set promotions, hey, 10% off, 15% off. If you use this discount code, if you come back and see our products. So you kind of set up the next 3 months. That's going to be a longer term, that placement of your product on the Amazon catalog. So that's kind of the four phases we go through that we think are really effective, that we've seen pretty effective to launch a new product, especially in this day when, you know, when the review thing that everyone was relying on, whether it's that effective or not, has gone away. So there's
very, very structured indeed. And it's very, as you say, it's got to have discipline to implement it, but it makes a lot of sense. And the fact that it comes from a trusted source like yourselves that obviously you guys have got the data and the experience, is very reassuring. So you've shown us how to get sales rank and how to look at, you know, various things, how to use PPC to drive traffic and then to refine it in order to make profitable sales. But the one element that a lot of people worry about is still getting reviews. So tell us about that. How important do you think that is in reality? And how do you deal with that side of things?
So I'll quote a number that was done through a lot of data gathering. I think millions and millions of SKUs. And they discovered that the number of reviews that you have stopped mattering at 21 reviews. But after 21, it's the amount of stars you have on your review that matters.
That's so really fascinating, because as it happens, I had a product that I allowed to go out of stock just before Christmas. I'd done some giveaways, some of which had got the reviews got taken down, some not. So I had exactly 22 reviews before Christmas, and I think it showed up as a like 4.8 average, so it looked like 5 stars. And I did 103 units on Cyber Monday and basically sold through about 1,200 units in about 6 weeks. And that's, very interestingly, exactly over 21 reviews. I just wanted to say my personal experience exactly matches that. That is very neat, I have to say.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's a macro trend that we've seen through this huge chunk of data that we've done analysis on. So reviews are important for sure. And, you know, the common sense would say, hey, if something has 3,000 reviews versus 100 reviews, is someone more likely to buy that? But at the point, really, the consumer starts looking at the star count. So if your stars are higher, that's better. That's much better. So that's the clarity there, is that your number of stars matters much more after 21 than before.
Okay, that's a very, very clear answer to the question of how much they matter. So nevertheless, you've got to get those 21 reviews or whatever it is. So how do you go about doing that in a post-incentivized reviews world?
Yeah, so we've actually found when you run promotions, there's a higher review percentage that comes from people who are buying your product than the typical review percentage. I think the normal percentage is about between 1% and 3% of people who buy your product are going to review your product. But we've found, I don't have actually the exact number, but that number jumps up quite a bit when you give promotions out and you do a big mass you know, promotion for your products. And now most of the time you don't have to give away more than 30 to 50 units. I mean, I'm talking lower price point products. The stuff is over $100. You could probably get away with less when you're doing some promotions. And depends how competitive your category is too. But so we found, you know, the promotions are good. And then reaching out and using kind of Facebook as, you know, if you have a Facebook crowd built up around your brand, that's a really good resource to start saying, hey, we've launched this new product. Please go test it out and leave us a review on your experience. It's not against the T's and C's to do promotions, but it is against them to do a promotion for a discount for a review. So just don't do the latter.
Okay, great. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So in other words, you need to, that's a very, very interesting differentiation between the fact that you got a higher review percentage on promos than on normal giveaways. And I hadn't particularly measured that, so I hadn't seen that in my own data, but that's very reassuring. So I guess if you work on the basis that if your normal percentage is 1% to 3%, which does tie in with my experience, that maybe it's 5%. I suppose if for every 5 reviews you want to get, you give away 100 products or something, roughly, if you want a rule of thumb.
Yeah, that might be the case. And it might be higher. We've seen higher on certain products, but yeah, the ones that are still around that.
I mean, I know you're a man of great integrity when it regards data, but I know that most people just want a number. So I suppose 5 is a start, you know, 5% is a starting point. And
that's a good spot.
Great. Well, that gives us a number. I mean, at least in that means I can start to do some kind of rough budget. As you say, a lot of this stuff is guesswork to start with, but you can make an educated guess. That's really helpful. Thank you. So what do you specifically do with Facebook? You've mentioned if you have a crowd built around it, you can, you know, go back to them and say, hey, we're doing a promotion. Have you got any very specific strategies around that?
Nothing too specific. I mean, you can do Facebook advertising is another thing, but it's if you've, so I guess when I presented that, it's more the idea of if you have built up a Facebook kind of crowd around your brand, which can be a resource for various things. We've seen a lot of people do this, particularly when they're building their brands, is build some crowd of a couple hundred people or 1,000 people or, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50,000 people around their brands, is post some stuff up there and say, hey guys, we're launching this brand new product. It's really amazing. And here's some promotions, giveaway, and don't forget to leave a review on your experience with the product. That would really help us out, you know, and that's a resource. If you have it, you can leverage here.
So you're allowed to say, don't forget to leave a review. Are you doing a promotion that is a reduction only for people who've got certain discount codes, certain promo codes?
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, it's the idea of helping your community, your Facebook community, feel special, right? So that's the very thing. You want to make these different segments feel special about themselves.
That makes total sense. That my question is really, I suppose, around the terms of service side of things. That if you give a promotion code to somebody or a set of people where nobody on Amazon normally has access to it, and you say, don't forget to leave a review, that's not going to raise a red flag with Amazon then, in terms of your incentivizing reviews, or might be seen to be doing that.
So it's hard to say, because it's so inside Amazon, there's an individual person making the call every single time. They have their SOPs that say, if someone was given a promotion for the review, take it off. But if it's in some kind of gray area, sometimes I've seen them overreach their bounds way too much. There should be nothing against giving away promotions for your products and encouraging people to purchase them and leave reviews.
If I gave, for example, a promo code, let's say that I'm lazy and I just do a general code, I can't remember what you call it, it's not a single time use, one time use code, and I send it to 200 people on my email list and I say to them, you know, who I've gathered from Facebook maybe, and I say, right, would you like to check our new wonderful blue pen out? It goes with your red pen. You'll find it a wonderful companion to your red pen. And by the way, don't forget to leave us a review. That isn't going to raise any red flags at Amazon.
It shouldn't, in my mind. Now, I don't know what internal things they have inside that says, you know, what kind of reviews that they're allowing now or not. It's such a new thing. I don't even know if they have the full system going or not. They're probably still trying to figure that out, but it's not an incentivized review, right? So you're not saying, here's a product so that you'll review it for us. And that's the case on that side. So,
okay. Well, that's quite reassuring given that you actually worked at Amazon. I mean, it does sound a bit like, again, this does explain the inconsistency. That kind of Wild West thing is one thing when you're developing new products or services, but it's quite another when you're reinforcing laws which have an effect on, not laws, but regulations which have an effect on everybody's business existing, at least that sales channel. So that's interesting. So in other words, you're saying that you wouldn't assume that they've even sorted it out internally yet.
I could see the argument between two VPs in a meeting, like I've seen very many times, of one saying, look, they're giving away promotions and they're getting reviews. Why? What's the problem here? And the other one saying, hey, look, they're giving away a promotion and someone's giving a review on that promoted product. Should that be against our T's and C's? So, I don't have any more insight than that. I mean, this is my best guess of being outside of Amazon and knowing that, you know, we've done a bunch of promotions and review rate is higher and those reviews have stuck so far. So.
Okay, well, then that makes a lot of sense. Well, if you've got quite a lot of data you're drawing on and those reviews have stuck so far, then, you know, that gives me some reassurance. That's good to hear. And I had a similar conversation with Greg Mercer of JumpSend the other day. I mean, obviously Jungle Scout, JumpSend, everything else. And, he was saying similar things. He's saying, yeah, there is a certain percentage off where you might get a review removed, but there is no magic number that they found in their testing. And also he said that none of their clients have been in touch to say their accounts have been suspended. So I guess that kind of... I can imagine they'd be on the phone pretty damn quick if that happened. So I guess
if anyone else sees any of this stuff or experiences the opposite, please let me know. I'd love to hear from other people, their experiences too. I mean, this is one of those. So the way Amazon works internally, you have the seller support group. It's kind of like this, this closed box little system, and people, even inside Amazon, it's hard to penetrate the seller support group, and they just kind of do what they want no matter what the size of the seller is. Now, sometimes you get influence from big VPs if you're a big enough account and stuff, but then they're also still figuring themselves out too. So
that's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode. Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening, because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated, because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening, because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple: to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups, so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness, and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire, and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind, where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks, and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses, and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well, so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind, and you can find. Thanks for listening.